Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Shalom, shalom. This is Zipporah coming to you in divine love. And for this episode, I really did want to just on our different testimonies and backgrounds and where the Most High Yahweh brought us from. And I know a lot of people have a lot of testimonies, and I feel like a lot of people will have, you know, will bring edification from the struggles that they've been through. Now, just a little about me. Because I'm never ashamed to tell where I came from with my brothers and sisters. And I just honestly, I feel like if God has forgiven you, who is man to not forgive you? That he's no one. So honestly, when it comes to how we deal with other people and the walk that they're newly coming into and, you know, everything that they're dealing with, you have to look at you. You have to see yourself not only through their eyes, but through heaven's eyes, because you're not perfect. And I just honestly feel like a lot of people, they condemn others. They damn them to hell. They judge them. But it's not with a righteous judgment. It's not like you see someone doing something bad. You know, hit them up in their inbox. You tell them, hey, you know, the scripture says this. This is what the scripture says. And whatever. And then you move from there. And I see that you're displaying this type of behavior. And, you know, I love you, but I just want to, you know, I love you in the sense that I care about your salvation. That's how we should come to others when we correct them in private so they are not made a fool of publicly. So I just honestly feel like a lot of people really have to work on their tact. Tact is really a dying art. It's a dying art form. Okay, it's the difference between being brutally honest and... it's a whole different thing to just be an asshole, okay? And we're not called to be assholes. That's not supposed to do that. We're supposed to preach this truth, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ or Yahushua HaMashiach to the four corners of every nation, every single nation. Now, just to share my, you know, my life with others, where God has brought me, what God has brought me from, I really have a deep past. I really have a lot of things that God has forgiven me from, and I think that's why has forgiven me of. And I think that's why I'm so in love with him, because he forgave me so much. And then I just kind of finally realized he never left me. I left him. But what? No one will ever know. The world will never know. But honestly, coming into the truth, coming up from my background, a lot of people know my background. A lot of people find it interesting. Not gonna get into it because I've said it a million times. But you know, having my father do what he did, spend his time in jail, and you know, my mom is like the original independent woman. So I grew up with that mindset. I grew up with the mindset thinking that I didn't need anyone but me. And, of course, we believed in God, of course, but it was in a different way. We believed in God just as, you know, our provider, our creator. But we didn't believe in him to be our salvation, to turn us from our wicked ways and, you know, things of that nature. Now, I say that to say this. I come from a very deep background when it comes to things that I've done since I've committed, and I do see people are starting to call in, but it's like, I don't know if something's off the line, but it's like, I don't know. I'm going to try to fix it on my side. But just one of the things that, you know, used to be a thing that I struggled with, because you look at someone, I don't care how pretty they are, I don't care what they say out their mouth. I don't care what people are. I don't care what degrees they have. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how much they say they love their God or this and that and the next. Everybody has a skeleton in their closet. Okay, everyone. If they just have one, that's rare. Okay? So, just with me growing up, you know, my father with the whole drug scene, and my whole family has some type of history of addiction, some type of history of alcoholism, some type of history of just something going on. So it was just really, you know, with me when I reached my teenage years, I was just, I can't wait to get out of this house. I could not wait, okay? And to the point that I was counting down the days when I turned 18. 18 came, gone. I'm still in my mama's house, like, you know, it takes much to live out here in these streets. And it does. But also, it was just something else. It was something. I started to strip. And at first, I didn't do it because I really needed the money like that, because I was out of my mom's home. I'm living with my, you know, my best friend. Everything's good. But I did it because, you know, I feel like I needed attention. I needed this. I needed that. I needed validation. And so I started stripping. And the first time that I ever touched cocaine was when I was stripping. So before that, I would just do things such as ecstasy, or, you know, I would just drink and things like that. But it wasn't until I started to strip that they have long, you know, having to work all night, sleep all day, I started to, you know, use cocaine. Now, I only did it one time. That's a lie. I think I did it two or three times when I was stripping. Then I stopped stripping. I don't know what made me stop stripping. I had a boyfriend at the time, and he didn't know. I don't know how he didn't know, because whenever we would go somewhere, I would buy something or whatever, I would always use ones. I don't understand how he didn't put two or two together. And then whenever he would come pick me up from work, I was always walking back from somewhere. I was walking from the strip club, so he wouldn't see where I was coming from or whatever. But just from that, and just getting caught up in a lot of, you know, a lot of things. I had this one friend. She did have an abusive child father. I remember that we were all in the room together. She knew that he had another child on the way, or another, he had a girlfriend. She knew that when they started going together. And she basically tried to set him up. She had me in the house. I didn't know what was going on. She had me in the house, and she invited the baby mother over. I'm like, okay, whatever, cool. You know, they might get into a little fight or whatever. She was pregnant at the time. And but what she did that was very, very messy and very dangerous, because this man had already shot at her before. Yes, shot at her. Like, he could have killed her, shot at her. And so she invited the child, you know, his girlfriend over there that actually was his actual girlfriend. She's just, you know, the side woman. And I'm sitting there like, yo, this is crazy. And they're talking. And unbeknownst to me, she also had called the boyfriend. So the boyfriend came over, and when she saw him, you know, her answer the door, he was like, hey, baby, what's up? Hey, baby, you know, I've been da-da-da-da and all this other, you know, everything else. But then when he opens up the door, when the brother opens up the door, his girlfriend of, you know, a year or so is sitting on a chair, you know, standing right by the door. I mean, sitting right by the door. And so what he does is he looks, and he's just like, you know, he looks at her like with such hate. I've never seen that type of hate in my life. I've only seen it a few times in somebody's eyes. He goes outside. He shoots about two or three shots through the window, the glass window. Now, my friend, her brothers and sisters and everything, I mean, her brothers are in the house. I'm in the house. Both of his baby mothers are in the house. And he shoots through the window. I mean, had to cut her off. I moved back to Virginia. But honestly, when it comes to things that we do, we have to be careful with who we surround ourselves by. We have to really be careful, because you never know someone's spirit. You never do. You can see them, and they can seem like they're, you know, such a fantasy, or they can seem like they're really built up, or they have it all together. But when you really get to know that person, you know. But a lot of the things that I struggled with before the truth was smoking cigarettes for that. Even to this day, I have an occasional cigarette. I know it's bad. But I will. That's something I'm gonna keep it real because I know a lot of y'all are trying to play this role like everyone's. When we bring our struggles to one another, we can build one another up. Period. I mean, period, point blank. When you try to hide it and try to act like your ish don't stink, that's when people are trapped in the situation that they're in because they don't have a support system. Sometimes I have a problem with my anger. I have a problem with coming into this cocooning where if I get angry enough or I get or I feel, so much alone or I'll just go into my little call. I won't talk to anybody. I'm forwarding my calls. I'm ignoring messages. And that's not good either. But before the truth, it really was a battle with me with Jezebel because I would always try to overreach and try to, have so much authority over men, and I would always use my money to do so because everything that I've had, every boyfriend, that I've had, in the past and whatever, I always made more money than them. So I would use that to, and then I always wonder why he cheated on me. And it's like a man needs to feel needed. A man has to feel needed. If he feels like you don't need him, what is his point in your life? I mean, that's just a bit of me, but when I came to the truth, promise yet. Because a lot of people say they're in the truth, but they Torah only, they don't have a Messiah. No, you're not in the truth. You just know the truth, but you're not in the truth. I do have a caller, and I know who this is, but I just want, honestly, I just want my husband to be honest and open. I think this is my husband. It looks familiar. But, we got these smartphones, so we don't know numbers for real. I just think I'll see the code. But, I'm just going to connect the next caller. Just let us know a little bit. Well, not even a little bit. Let us know your background. Let us know where you come from. What drew you to the truth? And what was it that did not make sense in your life that you just felt like, okay, wow, now it all makes sense? Caller 415-415, you're connected. Shalom, shalom, who's this? Caller, shalom, shalom. This is my husband. I'm about to check this number right now. He got the right one. 415. This look like his number too. You might look the microphone. And so
hello?
Is this somebody out of hello?
Hello?
Hello? Is this Ross?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, babe. Yeah, I can.
Oh, what's up? Come on.
Babe, really? Okay, but, I was just talking about, and I mean, I have some people that's called in, but they're not in the host queue. I guess they don't feel comfortable talking. But, I mean, I just feel like you have a lot to share with people. You don't have to get messy or anything, but I just you first told me your whole. What happened?
Somebody just threw a brush at me.
Okay, I'm gonna need you to chill. I'm gonna need you to chill. Okay. But go ahead. Like, tell us a little bit of your story, even if you have to walk away from the current situation. Who is that, Naomi?
Nah, that's Johnny and Maya Bingy.
So, can you talk, or were you just listening?
I was listening in. I didn't think you were going to put me on the spot like that.
Okay, well, if you don't want to talk about your...
Well, it's not really a good time right now.
Yeah, okay, so I'm gonna need to get the host cue, baby. I love you. But I'm gonna need
you. Right there.
I'm gonna need to exit stage left out of the host cue. All right, I love you.
Love you too.
Okay, so my man, okay. He's a little rough on the edges, but he's mine, so. But you know, going back to what I was saying before. And, okay, it looks like, I feel like my husband just chased the two callers that were just waiting in queue away because something is happening. I don't know why anybody's calling, keep dropping. That happened last time. I don't know what's going on. But I'm just going to play a little music. And we go ahead and get them back because I'm never going to call right back because we've called back twice. All right, shalom, shalom. Oh, not that song. Not that song. No, I don't want to hear that song. Nope, not that one.
Thank you.